Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM. Michael, let echo again. Here on WBAI, there we go. Thank you. WBAI 99.5 FM. Hey. Hey. Hey, hey. Yesterday we spoke about hatred. Hatred, one of those real emotions that nobody likes to face. But you know, it led me to another discussion that led me to another discussion that led me to a bunch of discussions. Hatred and love. Here's the concept I presented yesterday. I said love is an anecdote. No, an antidote. Love is also an anecdote. Love is an antidote to hateful feelings. Could that possibly be true? Here's the concept. Love is the answer. That's a concept. Love is the answer. Someone to, right? What's the question? What's the question? Well, that's what we're going to be searching through today. And I will be back with you in just a second. Well, there we are, getting everything straightened out here today. Hey, we just had a walk-in. One of our WBAI listeners, Rohini Somwaru. Rohini Somwaru. From Ghana and WBAI, Guyana. Sorry. Here, pick this up. Say hello, guys. Say hello. Isn't this exciting?
Hi.
Hey, there you are. How do you feel talking on WBAI right now? What does that feel like?
It's very intense, and it's exciting, extremely exciting.
Yeah, you've been listening to WBAI for quite a long time, huh?
Yes. Yes, I have.
It must be amazing, for you to hear all this new stuff coming in your direction.
It is. It is. It's quite amazing.
Rohini, I want to use you as part of my audience today because there's a question that I have. And the question I have, I'm going to start off with you. Well, actually, I'm going to start off with a couple of examples. Give you an example of this. Here, friends, let's get a little help from music. Now, there's that concept again, you know? All you need is love. So then, we try to take that question and we address it and we say, well, what is this love? If you have love in your heart, then you feel good. If you love somebody, you feel good. Or is it if somebody loves you, is it like this instead? And as you continue with this theme of love and what love is and how love works, I mean, it's all through our music. You know, I mean, if you wouldn't know what to do with music if you couldn't use the word love, right? Like, here's Dinah Washington.
I must try to make the man love me. Make the man love me now.
There's another concept, right? Billie Holiday, you know, all over the place, of course. You know, a description of love is...
love is funny. Oh, it's sad. It's quiet. Oh, it's mad. It's a good thing. Oh, it's bad. But beautiful.
Is that the way it is? And then when you finally, when you meet somebody who really loves you, you know, is this the way it feels, you know?
You stepped out of a dream. To be what you see.
That's Chris Connor. You're too wonderful to be what you seem. That's an interesting concept, you know. And how many times do you ever feel that you meet somebody for the first time and you just say, how wonderful can this person be? They're going to break my heart. They're so wonderful. They're so great. And then it turns out it was junk. You know what I mean? Well, what does that mean? I mean, does it mean that where you are, is it all about set and setting once again? And that's the concept I introduced yesterday with hatred. I said, when talking about hatred, it seems that here we were in a society that was filled with so much hatred in the 60s. And in the 50s, you know, we had the war, and then we had the Korean War, and then we had the Vietnam War. And in the middle of the Vietnam War, where people are outrageously killing each other, and it's being televised on television, it's being broadcast, then all of a sudden comes the love movement. The love movement comes out of that. Now, love used to be a nice thing. It used to be something that was considered romance. But then the love movement came in, and it said the following. If we love, then we will not hate. So all you need is love. Okay, that makes sense. It does make sense, because it's two totally different hormone systems. Hate uses a lot of the hormones that are necessary for hate, which includes being aggressive and being angry and being flooded with energy. Love requires a calmer state of mind. So the truth of it is, if you love, you don't hate. Well, that's nice, isn't it? But is that the whole purpose to love? Is the whole idea of love, and maybe the whole idea is to be saved from your own angry feelings. You're just too unhappy by yourself, so you want to love somebody, or be loved by somebody, or have somebody love you, or join a love group, or be in a love commune, or mistake love for sex, or sex for affection, or love for food. Right? When you ask people what they feel when they eat their favorite food, they feel loved. What does that mean? It means you calm down. It means you're excited, you're alert, you're aware, but you're calm. You're there, you're present. The highest state of being that we know, the highest state of being that we know is a loving state. Not love dreamy-eyed, but love, like, you know, Gandhi, like somebody else, Sylvester Stallone, no, like Gandhi, like any number of people who you see, the crystallized, beautiful, present, alert, loving people. So we search everywhere to be loved, to be understood, to be accepted, to be acknowledged, to be validated. Well, validated, now there's a question, validation. What does it mean to be validated? Are you like a piece of paper and you need a rubber stamp? You exist? I think we do. Maybe love makes us feel like we exist. Maybe if you have a love relationship, you feel like you got a purpose. You know, nature didn't design it this way. Nature only designed it that you exist if you have a baby. That was nature's design, right? If you're a man, you exist. If you could have a baby, if you're a woman and you have a baby, then you exist and nothing else counts, and then you could die. Just give us a couple of offspring and then we could let you go. That's the way nature designed it. It did not design for love. It designed for coupling because they found out that people who were in a pack did better than people who were not in a pack. You know, people who were in a pack, who were in a group of people, hunted better than people who weren't. So that's okay. But it didn't call for coupling. It didn't call for having these singular relationships. So there's something about these relationships that are different than we think it is. It is not funny. It is not. There's a depth to it. There's something else to it. And I tell you, my friends, if I ask the average person, they're going to give you answers that you've always heard before. Rohini and I were talking just a little bit a few minutes ago as she stepped in the studio as a guest volunteer here at the at WBAI, and she stepped in to sit in the studio, and she was talking about it, and she was telling me about her perception of love, which I enjoyed hearing because it shows me the confusion that so many people feel. Rohini, would you mind telling me again, how do you see, I mean, how do you see the issue of love and what it means? And why is it important at this young age of yours? What is love to you?
Well, I think it's something joyful and exciting, and we feel like we need someone there to make us feel good about ourselves.
You feel that you, right? Not we, but you could say for yourself that you feel good if somebody makes you feel good about yourself.
We're both being happy together.
And you, use the I instead of the we in this one. And you said, what did you say at the beginning? Excited? And what's the other word?
Joyful.
Excited and joyful. Now.
Fulfilled.
Fulfilled. Before, if there were no love, it's harder to feel joyful, right?
Well, that's where I come to accept myself and know myself and who I am as a being.
You mean you don't need love for that?
I need love for myself.
Do you need someone to love you?
No. I have to love myself before.
Okay, now this is one of the rules that everybody says. I need to love myself before I could love anybody else. But if you look all over the planet, you see people who can love other people and they hate themselves.
Yes.
So I think we could take that theory and say, well, that doesn't exactly apply. You know, you don't have to love yourself to love another person. Well, then somebody's going to come along and say, oh, but you have to love yourself to truly love someone else. Well, there's another confusion. What do you mean truly love someone else? And who makes anybody the authority on love? I'm certainly no authority. Is the authority on love the person who tells you how to love them better? In almost any couple, there's a man and a woman, and many other kinds, of course. There could be man and man and woman and woman, but there's usually one person who is describing what true love is. And they're saying they have it, and they have the other person, they're saying, but you don't have it because you don't do these things. So there's always one person who is finding fault with the other person because the other person doesn't love properly. But who becomes the authority on love? How do you become an authority on love? How do you get to the point where you say, I know what love is? Well, the only way you could really do that is if, well, I don't know, maybe if you visit God or something, you have a conversation with the heavens, if there is such a thing. I don't even know if they know the word up there. I don't know if God knows what the word love is. I don't know if love knows what the word God is. I don't know if God exists. So there we go again. Did you want to say something to that, Rohini?
No, I didn't. Thank you.
Okay, so who do you love? Who loves you? I can't say love is overrated. I can't say it, but I could say it is confusing. It is confusing. It's like talent. You know, talent is overrated. So what? You have talent. Creativity is overrated. So what? You're creative. Babies are creative. You know, so what? Love, a very funny thing. So let's say that we try to get a little through the confusion, as many of you do, and you say, I love, or I don't love, or I do love, and maybe I should take your calls. Maybe, Rohini, you've led me to the audience being the authorities, because I have to find some kind of a solution to this dilemma. There is, what is this thing? Do you love a hamburger? Do you love Brussels sprouts? Do you love a good movie? And do you love your dog? And do you love your husband? Is it the same thing, or is it like the Greeks do? You know, they have five different kinds of love. You know, we have agape, and we have all these other kinds. They have different words for different kinds of love. I think it's an interesting thing, because I think it's a cover-up. This is what I said yesterday. I think the real search is how to find yourself feeling loving. The search for love, I believe, is the search for your loving self. Now, what is your loving self? Your loving self is a self that is free of compulsive fear and compulsive anger. Compulsive. Automatic. What does that mean? It means that growing up here in society, we either have two things. We either have fear or anger that we don't like as feelings, and I guess pain as well. We don't like to hurt. So I guess we have three solutions now. We could solve three problems. We could solve pain, we could solve anger, and we could solve fear if we have this thing we call love. Or is love simply being able to negotiate those three things? Negotiate fear. That means feel your fear, but don't let it dominate your life. Anger. Feel your anger if you feel it, but don't let it lead you to behavior. And that's our question. 212-209-2900. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you, because you may say, no, Armand, you're wrong. Love is God, and love is Jesus, and love is Muhammad, and love is, love makes the world go round. But I tell you, I think it's time for someone to challenge it. And where else but here on WBAI 99.5 FM with the assistance of Guyana. Let's take one of your calls, 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Let's say hello. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today, Armand?
Good, good. Who is this?
This is Bob.
Hello, Bob. Oh, I've spoken to you before.
Yes, you have. You
I have. Recognize your voice.
I have a quick question for you and your guest, and an answer for you as well. What is the opposite of love?
There's a good question for you. Okay, Rohina. Rohini, what is the first thought that comes to your head? What is the opposite of love?
Hate.
Hate. Okay, so there we have one of those. The opposite of love is hate. What do you think of that?
That is the most common answer.
Isn't that the most common answer? No, it's not the most common answer. Common answer.
When I ask the question of people, it is the most common answer that I get.
Yes, kind of an automatic answer. And that's what I was thinking before, that love is the antidote to hate. I mean, we hate hate, but we love love.
Well, for a long time in my life, the opposite of love I considered to be hate. And then one day I had a revelation that was given to me, and I realized that the opposite of love was fear. And from fear comes hatred, arrogance, bigotry, all of the maladies of our world stem from fear. Fear is very much like the darkness. Love is very much like the light. Darkness cannot help but recede in the presence of light, the way fear cannot help but recede in the presence of love. And it completely transforms my life and my world and the way I look at people and the way I interact with them.
So what's the question you ask yourself, Bob? Do you ask yourself, this is brilliant, thank you. Do you ask yourself, where is my fear?
Yes.
So that you could become aware of it?
Especially when I find more often than not, I don't respond with fear. I respond with anger. And if I'm angry at somebody or I respond to somebody with anger, then I look, it's like, okay, what is the fear here? What am I so afraid of that I feel I need to respond with anger?
Great.
Oftentimes, it's just a response that somebody's angry with me. You know, you're on the highway, somebody cuts you off, and then they flip you the bird for after they cut you off. And the initial response is just to be angry with them. But then I think, you know, that person's very angry, which means they have a lot of fear. I wonder what's upsetting them. I wonder what's scaring them today.
Well, you see, okay, Bob, so I think you're saying something very important here. You're saying, because I'm in agreement with you, hatred is a form of fear. It's a reaction to fear, right? So we're frightened, and you're saying we're frightened animals, and we're frightened animals, and we don't let ourselves recognize the fear that we have. So instead of our fear, we either get angry or we look for an antidote to fear, which is to get covered up by the molasses of love, to get smeared with it. You know what I mean? And you put a big smear of molasses. I'm hoping this is an image that everybody sees. And it covers all your wounds and all the cuts on your body and all the open air stuff that hurts so much. And now you're smothered in molasses of love. And you say, ah, now I don't feel any fear. The only trouble is you also can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
But the other way that you propose, which I like better, you become aware of your fear. Instead of covering it up with molasses or with anger, you become aware of your fear and you let yourself feel the pain of your fear without it controlling you, without avoiding it. You let it breathe as a wound will breathe in the air, and it'll hurt more when it breathes, but don't put the Band-Aid on it. Feel it, and then a different sense emerges, which is a state of no fear. And no fear may be exactly what love is. In fact, if we needed one definition for love, we may say it's no fear.
I find oftentimes, as ironical as it is, an easy way to understand a concept is to figure out what the opposite of it is.
Good. I really appreciate it. Thank you for calling in, Bob.
Thank you. Have
and
a good
keep
day.
Calling in. And you feel better about all that road rage nowadays, right?
I feel better about the road rage than any time anybody gets angry with me.
Well, didn't we the last time we spoke, didn't we talk a little bit about driving?
Oh, God, I don't remember anymore.
I think it was you driving and you feeling road rage, and you sound like you've made a long distance, you've made a lot of work with it, you've done a lot of good stuff. Thanks for calling in, Bob.
Thank you, Armand. Have a good day.
Sure. I'm just another one of those guys he calls, you know? How could he remember? I'm just another guy. It's all right. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're talking about love, the experience of love, and we're talking about the illusion of love. Meaning not so much illusion, not mistakes, you know, like I said in the song, I want to be loved by, you know, love is the antidote, love is the solution, love is the answer. What is this stuff we're talking about? And are we just trying to cover up all our wounds? And what is a real love like? Well, maybe real love, according to Bob, is the absence of fear, the absence of anger. But I like the way he boils it down, the absence of fear. But why would it be fear? What's wrong with fear? Why can't we feel fear? Is that another issue? What's wrong with feeling fear? Fear is fear. So you know, your body gives you a whole bunch of ways of dealing with fear. You tremble, you pump blood, you get ready for battle. It's only fear. It's not such a big deal, yet we have to produce this whole idea of love as a way of dealing with it. Interesting concept. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. Well, for me, love is like feeling completely alive. Like when I love someone, I feel like I'm alive in my body. I'm aware of my body. I'm aware of the other person, that they're present, that they're here in a body. But with it is also a sadness about the fact that one day I have to die, one day this person has to die. Like now I have a little granddaughter, she's barely a year old, and when I hold her in my arms, just the tenderness of her being, I love her and I feel completely alive, but at the same time there's like a sadness because I know one day I die, she dies. So with love, there's a sadness. Also, you said, what is the opposite of love? To me, it's not fear as much as annihilation. To me, it's the opposite of love is to not be.
Well, you know, thank you very much. Thank you. You've said quite a few things. Number one is you said that if I let myself love and I feel those really tender feelings, there is a kind of an abyss that I could fall into. And I don't fall into that abyss because I think about the fact that either she or I may die at some point. And then that brings about a certain negative feeling of fear. And then that keeps me from feeling so vulnerable. So that's one thing you do. That makes sense. The other thing you're saying is that love and annihilation, which means non-existence versus existence. Could this be the question?
Well, remember
could this
when
be,
you said,
wait,
remember
let me just
when
finish.
You said, you were talking about hatred. What is hatred? I was thinking about when I hate someone, what is it that I feel? And when I hate someone, I know what I feel is that they have a power to invalidate me, annihilate me, maybe not physically, but emotionally or whatever. So hatred is really the fear of annihilation. That's what my reasoning tells me based on when I hate people.
You're pretty smart and pretty introspective. I want to thank you for calling in.
And when I love, I feel completely alive. Like there is no fear of annihilation. I'm completely in my body and completely aware of the other person, totally 100%.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Well, you see, there it is now. Now we say we have bad feelings. And love makes us not feel bad feelings. So if this is the case, then that's the use of love. But then we have to take away the concept of the object cathexis. Ah, what's he talking about? Cathect. Cathect in psychology is an energy formation. An object cathexis is when you are attached to an object. You cathect to something. C-A-T-H-E-T-H-I-X-P-K-L-F. When you cathect to something, it means you have an object cathexis. It means that other person and you form this bond, and you have this incredible bond, and then you build up the shield all around you, and you're now in love. And now that you have love, you're shielded from the world. Good if it would work, you know what I mean? Good if it works. It works for a little time, but you know you could get that with a puppy. And you can get that with your kitten, too. You ever lay on a couch with your kitten and you just pet your kitten and you could be feeling miserable and you just say, I feel wonderful because I love you. Because the act of loving actually helps you from falling into the abyss. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. It's really kind of remarkable, but it is worthy of question. And there is no, I will not settle for any simple answers. I won't settle for love as the antidote for fear. Love is not hatred. Love is, but I will not settle for the fact that love is the answer. No, no, no. If that's true, we have to find the question. You know, we have to find out what is this question that we're answering. If love is the answer, and you, the audience, you and your wisdom and Bob's wisdom and the other people who are calling in and Rohini who's with us, this is the way we'll learn about it because you need people who are willing to look at themselves and challenge themselves, and not many people are. Everybody just wants a nice, simple answer. If I win the lottery, I'll be happy. You know, if I get money, I'll be happy. If I get a good job, I'll be happy. If I just, you know, yeah. No, we have to find out how we can get this thing that we call love, which, funny enough, you know, if you ever spell love backwards, it's like evolve, as in evil and as in evolve. It's like you wonder where it really has a stem from. This is Armand DeMille. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, a little music, and then we will continue with your calls. Jamais Sting, La Belle Dance Sans Regret. Regret. The woman without regret. Ah, what's it like to be somebody without regrets, you know? Sometimes, you know, regrets come in so many different forms. Anniversaries will do that to you. You remember something from a long time ago, the anniversary of a death, anniversary of an illness. It's just amazing. But there is something about the bonding element. There is something about knowing that you have a human in the world who cares for you and that you care about. Now, that's kind of a remarkable thing. I don't completely understand it. I mean, I do understand it, but, you know, I've got to, just got to ask the question, what's that really all about? Now, every psychologist in the world, and, you know, I'm a pretty smart guy, knows the answer. Oh, I'll tell you what it's about, but I don't know what it's about, but you're telling me. I mean, the last caller said to me, when I call, I don't feel annihilated. I don't feel empty. I feel excited. When people say they feel excited when they're in love, well, what does that mean? That means I feel dead the rest of the time. Interesting thing about depressed people, no matter how many people care for them, they can't feel the caring. The depression is kind of immune to caring. In fact, sometimes a depressed person who is loved by somebody, whatever love means, who puts that loving energy towards a depressed person, the depressed person sometimes goes deeper into the depression to get away from it. Leave me alone, I just want to be depressed. But, on the other hand, if you're depressed and you're upset and you're scared, and there's somebody around, and they're pounding at your door and knocking at your heart, what you may feel is, get away from me, but please don't really go away. Keep a string to my heart, and it does your heart good. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're taking your calls at 212-209-2900 in response to taking away the illusion of what love is and trying to find what it really is underneath for each person. And maybe that's it. Maybe we should each not be allowed to use the word love, but use substitute words instead. Let's find out what happens if we do that. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
This is Jake from Montclair.
Hello,
I wasn't
Jake.
Sure if I was on. Well, I guess you're saying an antidote to a question, you'd have to, what is the question?
Sure, what is the question?
What is the question?
I don't know, I'm asking you, what is the question?
No, I thought you, I was just tuned in, so I thought maybe you
oh,
had
you
a question.
Oh, you just tuned in? No. You see, love is the answer, what's the question?
Okay, the question, I believe, is who am I?
Well, that's a good question for you. So that means the rest of the time, you're searching for some kind of identity, and you believe that love itself or a relationship that is an intimate relationship will help you learn about yourself. Is that true, do you think?
Yes, I believe it in a positive sense, yes. In a negative sense, it would keep you searching in where there would be no meaning or no answer to that question.
So love could possibly be a positive or a negative solution to the question of who am I, because, of course, if you get all wrapped up in the craziness, crazy love, you know, crazy love, you did this, no, you did this, no, it's your fault, no, it's your fault, blame, hatred.
Well, if it didn't answer the question.
That's right.
Of who am I? And I think we are love because that's where we're home. There is, it's solid. Everybody knows what it is because
yeah,
it
you
is
see,
a,
no.
There's a connection.
I got my question. I know you tuned in late, but you see, that's where the question is.
What is love?
No, I'm not asking that question. No, I was talking about, radishes. No, I'm only kidding.
I love radishes.
What I'm really talking about is what is this experience and why do we use these words for it? And even though what you're saying is very true, we're in a search to find out who we are. We're looking for our own identity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sense of identity. At one point, you feel real and you feel solid, whenever that is. That more frequently happens with people when they're in relationship to somebody else than it does when they're alone. Now, the problem is the following. Many people can't find it unless they have a relationship, and that is the search that is empty, because then you become dependent on the relationship to find that solid feeling. Whereas if you find it yourself, if everybody were forced to go out and find some solid place in your heart where you could be truly representative of this experience of love and then come on out and have a relationship, if that was what was necessary, that would be fabulous.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't it be great if we took people who got engaged and as part of the engagement process we said, okay, now each of you have to be isolated for a month.
You have to visit everybody else on the planet. You know?
Yeah, from everybody else and just be alone. For a month, and that's part of your anniversary. We're going to put you in a hut. We'll bring you food, but you got to meditate. You got to learn who you are.
So what you're saying really is that connection is a template of who we are.
Could be.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm definitely saying. I know that's what it is. I know that's who I am. So that template, in other words, a specific connection, is used as a template to lay over everything else.
Well, let's go to your relationship with radishes for a moment.
Okay.
Why do you love a radish?
It's warm. You know, I like the warmth of it.
What else?
It seems to open things up for me.
Open up like your nostrils?
Everything. Everything, yeah.
It opens up your pores. So you like...
It's a connection. I like the connection.
It's a feeling.
Yes.
So love and radishes go together.
I would say connection. What we would describe as the L word. I would say is the connection.
Good.
Is that connection, is that unification.
Thank
that we
you
are,
very
really.
Much for calling in. So you know, for Valentine's Day, you know what you should be sending, right? Radishes. Perfect. They're
a bunch
red,
of radishes.
You know, they're shaped like a heart, you know, and say, I radish you.
But I would just like to say that the question is, who am I? Is the question we're asking is really, is who am I? Am I the rageful person in the car, or am I that loving connection? Yeah. And those two ideas are in conflict.
Good.
So I think that's what we're
going to talk to that a little bit. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Thank you, Armand.
Right. So the question, he asks a very important question here. Who am I? Who am I? What a funny question. Who am I? You know, who am I? Well, I run a train, and I own a house, and no, who am I? The best way we found of a person finding out who I am is by answering the question, who am I not? Now, this is a very interesting thing. Because if you look at yourself and you think about all the things you do and the way you are and the people you talk to and your relationships, the question is, who am I not? What is it that you do day by day that you do from the not you? The not you. The stuff you do that you don't like doing. You have to call your mother because she'll get angry if you don't call her, so you don't feel like calling her, so you call her. That functions from the not you. So is it about the not you? And the thing that we eventually find is that a person who eventually finds out who they are is a person who stops or who lives more and more not in the not self. See? So you take away the not you, and what's left is the you. As opposed to trying to discover what's a you, because you keep digging it and painting it and imagining it and making up words for it. But so the question is, who are you not? Who are you not, you know, and who are you not in this relationship? And think about your relationship. Who are you not in this relationship? Are you not a caring person? Are you not a loving person? Are you not a self-sacrificing person? Are you not an abundant person? Are you not who are you not? And slowly but surely eliminating who you're not will leave you with some kind of a gem, maybe, of who you are. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Let's take another call, 212-209-2900. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Yes, sir. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Let me say, I've been blessed by your show, man. I've been listening to your show over and over. Very inspiring. And I just want to say, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bless you. I was listening to your show the other day, and 2 days ago, and unfortunately, you are... to the last call when I was just waiting for you to grab my call. And the topic that you dealt with was phobia, claustrophobia.
That's one social thing I wanted phobia, to... yes.
Right, because every time I travel on the plane, oh my God, I'm just dying to get out of the plane. It's like I'm going to go crazy. Elevators and all of that, when I, you know, take the elevator, it bothers me so much. And I wanted to ask you, how can I overcome that? Because a few years ago, maybe 7 years ago, I flew to England. And this, it was a problem. It was okay. But I realized that I'm getting older and it started to, like, creep up on me again. So what's the best way to overcome, you know, this kind
of... Well, there are three ways that I know of, okay? One way is don't fly and don't go in elevators. That's one way. I mean, that solves the problem. You know, go live in some nice place where they have huts and teepees, and, you know, you walk to work, which is the teepee next door or whatever it is. That's one way. You could go to a different civilization. The other way is medication. And what we found about people with phobias is that they have a certain off balance in their mind and in their body chemistry. So that certain body chemistry, if it's adjusted, can help you with the problem. Because if you take something like if you took a tranquilizer before you got on a plane, you'll at least have made the trip, and then your body remembers that you made it successfully, even if you made it with drugs. And the next time you could do it with half a drug, and the time after that with no drug at all, maybe. Maybe. So that's another way that people do it, not my favorite way. Mm-hmm. And the third way that people do it is with desensitization techniques that include hypnosis, which I have some people who work for me, who work with me, who actually do that. And what they do is they hypnotize you into relaxing when doing that, when going through that stuff. That's called neurolinguistic programming as well, NLP. That's been the most successful that I've seen in dealing with phobias. So
what
there are three different approaches. The approach
what do you call that one? The last one,
the last one is called, it's hypnotherapy or NLP. Both work. It's really the person who does it best, you know. And if you're a hypnotic subject, it's going to make it easier for you. But if you're not a hypnotic subject, then NLP. There's an organization called the Neurolinguistic Programming Association of New York, NLP of New York. They work with that. And we have another person who works with me. Her name is Alexandra Smith. She does that as well.
Do you have the phone number, please?
I don't have their phone number, but if you look on my website, you should be able to find it.
Okay.
Okay?
And very quickly, you know, normally people been through, like, a relationship, I notice sometimes we have been hurt so bad in the relationship that we claim that we move on. But realistically, sometimes, you know, the body's not there, but the mind is there, and you want to overcome this kind of negative behavior towards a person. While we're in the relationship, it wasn't good, so you the hate and the bitterness, you want to just move on from the relationship, whether it be a divorce or, you know, some kind of relationship. But, you know, it's even though you're not together anymore, you move on, so to speak. But, you know, your mind is still there, and you have a lot of anger and hostility towards each other. What is the best way to, you know, to when you walk away, let your mind walk away also? Because
when a person walks away from a relationship, but they carry a lot of stuff with them that they hold on to, resentments, it means that it's a symbolic relationship. It means that the relationship represented more than just the relationship itself.
Okay.
For example, let's say a woman has a relationship with a man who's not very available, and she has a relationship with the unavailable man, and then she breaks up with this unavailable man, and she goes through a tremendous torment. But the reason she chose an unavailable man is because when she was a young girl, she had a father who was not available, and the only way she knew how to love is to love somebody who was at a distance. So now she breaks up with this person who's at a distance, and it's as if she's dealing with only him, but she isn't. She's also dealing with her early childhood history of having had this pain, of having had an unavailable father. So that stuff that you learn about yourself, that's the stuff that, you know, psychotherapy teaches you to learn about yourself. And if you're going to use your mind with ruminations about hatred and resentment, you may as well take the very energy from your mind and turn it towards learning about yourself. So for that, I would say for any person who is in that, I would recommend a short course of psychotherapy and something that helps you learn about yourself. Really a terrific thing.
Okay. Give me your name. What do you spell your name? Because I want to go on your website, please.
Go to thepositivemind.com. Thepositivemind.com.
Okay, positivemind.com. All right. Thank you very much.
Thepositivemind.com. Thank you.
And keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Okay. On WBAI, by the way, people who are available to the fund drive, the February fund drive is coming up, and people who are available to volunteer to answer phones during the fund drive, if you're available, if you've never done it before, if you want to learn about it, I'd like you to call me or get in touch with me by email, because they need more people to answer the phones. We found that if we have more people answering the phones, the station actually raises more money, so we never take it for granted. So if you can't do anything with your time, you know, Rohina, maybe you would think about doing that, spending a day down there answering phones. It's just like a beautiful thing to do, because I know you're giving something to an organization that provides you so much. And if you can't afford to give money, it's one way of giving back. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Chris from New Jersey. How are you?
Hello, Chris.
Well, I believe that love is not really like a feeling. I think love is what you do in spite of what you feel. Sometimes you can have problems with your own family. You know, you don't get along with certain people in your family. But in spite of what you feel, you still do the best for them. Or even in the community, you might not be happy with certain things in your community, but you work toward doing something for the positive side. And I think even some people risk their lives for other people. They'll save somebody from a fire, even if it's a perfect stranger, out of love, because it's for the common good.
Chris, where have you ever been at the point where you have had to sacrifice what you needed and what you hoped for other people?
I think all my life.
You've done that your whole life.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, you're saying that because of love, a person will sacrifice what they need. And you use that as kind of a justification for having, you know, in some way cheated yourself out of life.
Think so.
Yeah, maybe so. You know, Chris, like, tell me what is one thing you would love to do with your life now that you're held back because of your responsibilities?
I don't know. I'm pretty content with my life right now.
Mm-hmm. And what is the one thing you would love to be doing that you don't do?
I would like to be recording music.
And what stops you?
I don't know. I guess because I find myself too busy for it.
And recording music how? You want to play an instrument or you want to sing?
I play guitar and I sing, but I would like to do it.
What do you sing? What kind of music?
Christian music.
Like what kind?
Christian music, Catholic Christian music.
Like what?
Like what?
Yeah, like give me the name of a Christian song.
Oh. Yo tengo un nuevo amor. I have a new love.
I have a new love. Do you have it in Spanish?
Yeah.
You sing it in Spanish?
I sing, but mostly in Spanish.
Could you give me 2 minutes of singing that song for me just the way it is in Spanish?
Sure.
Right now.
Okay. Yo tengo un nuevo amor. El corazón me late sin parar. Hay uno que me ha dicho, te amo de verdad, Jesús mi amor. Y más que amor, mi dulce paz. Siento que tengo ganas de volar al firmamento. Decirle al mundo entero lo que estoy sintiendo.
que ya encontré mi dulce amor. Jesús es toda mi verdad y nunca yo me cansaré de repetir hasta el final que ahora yo
tengo nuevo amor. Thank you. Hold on there a second. What a pretty voice that is.
Well, thank you very much.
And you know, now you've sung on radio.
Yeah,
now,
if you go to
thepositivemind.com or WBAI.org, you can search up the archives of today's program, and you will hear you singing on radio. And in fact, you know, this program goes all over the world. Somebody in Spain, Puerto Rico, somebody in Colombia is going to be listening to this, and they're going to say, what a beautiful voice.
Well, thanks, Armand.
What a nice thing you've done. Thank you for singing. Thank you for showing us your heart. And reach for that goal, will you?
I will. Armand, so what did you... My point of what I was thinking about love, what do you think about that?
I think you're right on.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. This is Armand DeMille. You see, but everybody's right on, because we all know the truth in some way or other. We have a thing. But, you know, friends, no matter how tough it is, we're going to get there. We're going to get there somehow. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. You can go to the website, thepositivemind.com, and learn how to get in touch with me. Remember, volunteers for the... for the upcoming marathon. I would like to hear from them as well. And so, I guess this is the message.